I'm Catherine Giraudot with PodTech News. IBM Corporation, or Big Blue, is the world's largest information services company. It's also one of the oldest. Since the 1920s, International Business Machines has grown a reputation as a reliable, solid, and somewhat stodgy technology firm. But Ben Edwards, IBM's manager of new media communications, is working hard to change all that. Last fall, he helped launch a company-wide podcasting and blogging program that gives tools, voice, and creative license to IBM's some 330,000 employees and contractors worldwide. I talked with Ben last month by phone from IBM headquarters in Armonk, New York.
You know, I kind of divided into two, you know, one employee-generated and one sort of corporate-generated. And, you know, so we're trying to deploy podcasting for, you know, the sorts of, you know, to reinvent traditional corporate communications, whether they be, you know, shareholder communications, whether it be marketing or, you know, internal corporate communications, things like executive communications, communications from managers to employees and so on. And then there's the employee-generated podcast, which is sort of sit alongside that, and there are lots of different applications for those as well. So, you know, we're kind of exploring ways to augment, you know, traditional ways of communicating and, you know, having, you know, quite a lot of success. I tend to emphasize two things, really, when I'm talking to IBMers and the outside world about podcasting. One is the economics. I am a huge believer in making it inexpensive. You know, I don't see any point in buying the services of an expensive Madison Avenue agency to make a podcast, which then only gets listened to by, I don't know, a few thousand people. I see the opportunity for podcasting is because it's inexpensive, you can reach, you know, a niche audience, a niche market. You can reach those 3,000 people, you know, economically, and it makes sense to, you know, make them content which they can then consume. And in the process, you know, your communications become more personal, more intimate, more friendly, more relationship-based, and just more relevant to your audience. But in order to do that, you have to, you know, concentrate very hard on making sure that you keep the cost down. And that to me is one of the phenomena that's driving podcasting is, you know, it is self-publishing, right? You do it with a kit that you can buy from an online audio store for a couple of $100 and you're away with a laptop. You don't even need that. You can do it with an $80 USB mic and you're away, or even just, you know, record a phone call like you're doing here. So that's point one. And then the second point we're emphasizing, and I want to drive at again and again and again, is a key component of this is the subscription technology. And what the subscription technology tells you is this isn't a one-off communication. You're trying to build a relationship with your audience. You're trying to drive your audience to come back and get involved in your content and interact with your content. And you want to create a relationship that takes advantage of the fact that people can subscribe and open up a channel of communication that's ongoing.
Let's listen to a sampling of the kinds of podcasts IBM employees are creating.
This is IBM, and you're listening to the Battle of the Bands. I'm your host, George Faulkner. Well, round 10 of the Battle of the Bands has concluded, with the group Bennett taking the win. Congratulations, guys. This week on the show, we begin with an artist named Brian McDonald and his track, Where You Are.
What does IBM as a corporation see as valuable about this? What's the value or potential value to IBM of having an employee create their own music show on company time?
IBM as a corporation is made up of IBM as 330,000 individuals, so there are lots and lots of different points of view, but I'll give you my point of view, and the reason why I sent it is, I mean, you were talking about culture, and IBM has a bit of a reputation for being a little buttoned down, a little conservative. You know, people can think of IBM, they can think of us in the glory days of the 1960s when we're all, you know, wearing dark blue suits and white shirts and press collars and ties. And, you know, I think it's still true that we need to loosen up a little bit and we need to become a little bit more creative or at least allow ourselves to liberate the creativity within us. We need to have a little bit more fun at work. I need to enjoy it. And I think this podcast, the reason I sent you this podcast is because I think this podcast, although it's like one of, you know, nearly 400 and really the only one of its sort. Actually, there are only one or two others on the tool that do this sort of work. Is sending an important message. No one in corporate has said, you know, this is not appropriate for the workplace. You know, we're going to have to kill this. We don't like this. You know, at the very top of the company, you know, people are aware of this and they have, allowed it to persist and flourish. And I think it's doing good work in terms of culture and in terms of sending a signal to our employees that it's okay to be creative, it's okay to have fun, and let's loosen, you know, a button on the top of that, white starch that we wear.
The Hursley Technical Exchange program this year was a week-long program starting on the 22nd of May. In this edition of Park Life, we'll bring you some of the highlights. We speak to writer, journalist and TV producer Simon Singh of Fermat's Last Theorem fame. And hear a little about the activities and talks during the week that made HCX such an exciting and successful event. Robert Llewellyn, otherwise known as Crichton from Red Dwarf,
in a way, Park Life sounds like a community radio show and like a public affairs show about one of IBM's units in a town in England. Can you just talk to me a little bit about Park Life?
Yeah, I mean, one reason I sent you that was, I made that point earlier about the talent amongst our employees and providing them the tools so that, the community at large discovers that talent. I mean, I think this is a terrifically talented show with very high production values that nevertheless was created by employees, and they weren't even communications professionals. They're software developers working for an R&D lab in England. And, I loved the show because of its high production values and what that says about discovering talent at IBM. But B, I think the content was great. I mean, I'd never heard of Hursley Park. I mean, I haven't been at IBM very long, so there's lots of bits of the company I'm still discovering. But I've listened to the show and I've got a little bit of a feel for what they do over there. And that's certainly raised their profile in my little, sphere of life. It shows again how using this tool you can make connections and so on in this very large and complicated organization that we've got. It's not just hobbyists and so on, it's also technical communities, communities of interest.
Welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks for June 28, 2006. I'm Scott Lanningham, DeveloperWorks podcast editor. And by now you know that we're IBM's technical resource for developers, offering a wide range of tools, code, and education on IBM products and open standards technology.
My own particular area, new media, social software, web 2.0 applications. There's a whole community of IBMers, not just from software development backgrounds, but from marketing, from communications, from the CIO's office, executives. There's a whole community of us who are really interested in this particular area and exploring it, and exploring some of the tools that, IBM's building to, help with this stuff. And it's much easier to find each other when we have platforms like the Podcasting Pilot tool. We also have a blogging tool internally where, again, it's a network, a relationship building tool where you can subscribe to favorite bloggers whose, topics that you're interested in.
IBM also produces podcasts for the public on a wide variety of topics, from how things work to tech tips. Here are two new ones Ben launched just last month.
One is called How It Works.
A butterfly flaps its wings in China, and sometime later, a thunderstorm drenches Chicago. We've all heard some variation of that description, of how one event can contribute to a seemingly unrelated event through a series of exquisitely intricate interactions. This old proverb can apply directly to the electric system.
This was really kind of dates a little bit back to my childhood when I used to love these newspaper features and science magazines where, you know, they would explain how it works, right? You know, you have the kind of, they're called information graphics in the newspaper industry, but they're basically, you know, those large line drawings of things, and they're numbered 1 through 5, and then you go through them, a little bit of text attached to each, and, you know, the illustrations cascade, and then you learn how, you know, the Mars rover landed on Mars, or the atmospheric balloon reached 90,000 feet or whatever. I figured we could apply this sort of treatment to some of the more kind of inspiring technology projects that IBM's working on. And the first one we've chosen is a intelligent electricity grid project in the Pacific Northwest. And you're right, I think the audio is really terrific. I didn't have anything to do with that. That was a another IBMer called Chris Luongo, who, you know, I discovered on our internal podcasting tool. He was doing some really terrific, you know, high production quality internal podcasts, and I sort of asked him, you know, would you like to, you know, do some for us on the homepage externally? And he agreed, and, you know, this is what he produced. And my design team for the homepage has also built a multimedia component that functions a little bit like, you know, one of those newspaper information graphics, except that it's built in Flash, and, you know, you can interact with it a little bit to look at the technology and how it works. And the other one's called Shortcuts.
Welcome to Shortcuts, a weekly online broadcast brought to you by IBM Workplace. Together with the industry experts, we're here to help you get the most of everyday internet and email tools to make your life online more productive and more fun. If you've got a question, we'll find the answer. Just write us at cuts@us.ibm.com. I'm Jennifer Clemente.
And I'm George Faulkner.
So if you could put Shortcuts in a content category, where would you put it? Tech tips, news you can use?
Yeah, tech tips, I'd say, but tech tips for the end user, right? You know, we have a bunch of brands inside IBM which make software for the end user, you know, the most famous being Lotus, right? So we have a whole series of enterprise clients who use Lotus Notes email and who use Lotus Same Time, the IM application. We're also developing a whole suite of sort of Web 2.0 type software applications, Wiki, QED Wiki, which is like a mashup of a sort of wiki and you know, software apps together, and a whole bunch of other things that we're developing. And this is what this show is for. It's aimed at the end user and building connections between them and the people at IBM who we employ to make this stuff.
I mean, if I just went through a couple of things that we've noticed about the usefulness of the podcasting tool and the applications our employees have, you know, put to use. And this, again, goes to the point about not trying to impose your own structure on how the tool's used, which is, you know, an emerging rule in deploying Web 2.0 technologies. You want to allow the community to find its own uses, and then through iteration, through tools that rank by popularity and so on, the useful applications get discovered, right? So one of them, I'm looking again at this most popular list. We have one here, very simple conference call, which is an audio blog. It's an executive in our integrated supply chain operation, very global function, you know, scattered all over the world with manufacturing plants and, you know, logistics and all that sort of stuff. Thousands of people on a weekly call. And you can imagine that's very disruptive for some people. And, you know, just sort of generally disruptive in the sense that, you know, you have to schedule 1 hour or an hour and a half of each week to listen to the executive doing his weekly management roundup. He's producing that now on an audio blog. So he has a blog, he has a podcast, and they work together so that, A, you know, people can download it and listen to it in during waking hours as opposed to 3 a.m. if you're in Australia or whatever. And then B, you know, it's an open door policy. Obviously, he's got that blog, and, you know, people can write to him and provide him feedback and tips and suggestions and their own comments and shouting out their own team members who they think deserve a shout out and so on.
IBM isn't the only large company that's recognized the power of podcasting. Other tech companies are starting to use podcasting as an inexpensive and popular way to communicate with their employees, replace meetings, and the like. Last summer, National Semiconductor Corporation gave all of its 8,500 employees a video iPod so they can download corporate podcasts. And while podcasting may not be as good a way to be discovered by Hollywood as putting videos on YouTube, Ben Edwards just may discover the next big star from the big blue talent pool. I'm Catherine Girardeau with PodTech News.
Things you'd say. I'm tired of hearing that. I-